this morning. And may I say, as the pastor, I thank God for our bus ministry. I looked on the report, there were 72 this morning that rode the buses, and we're grateful. We are praying for more laborers and praying for more people to be reached, because I firmly believe that we only have a short amount of time before this is all over, this chance to win folks to the Lord and see them saved and bring them into the sound of the gospel. You say, is there a persuasion? Is there a persuading argument that you give? No, it's just the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we just keep preaching it over and over again to everybody that comes. And we're thankful for the bus ministry. Thank you, bus workers, for being wonderful. I looked at those pictures as the video was playing and just wish that I would have the time to go and be that. I've been a bus director for years and years, much more longer than I've been a pastor. And so I love the bus ministry. And thank you, bus workers, for that. Well, as I mentioned before, it's a blessing to have each and every one of you here today. It was great to have Brother Danny Ward. He slipped over to be with the Spanish ministry after the pre-service. It's good to have Miss Julia Garst's sister is here with us. Most of you know Miss Julia Garst. Her sister's here for birthday celebration. It's good she's in here somewhere. But there, the rest of them are over there in the Spanish church, and we're thankful for that. But it's so good to have also Brother Travis, Miss Stacy Steele's back there, and we'll have them get up this evening and share a little bit and just greet you. We've also got the Northcutt family coming tonight. They're just dropping in on us. They're our missionaries in Newfoundland, Canada, up that way. And so we're praying for the Steels as they have as they've taken the ministry from where they were in Ohio or in Hawaii. What's the difference? They're both those tropical places. Well, boy. Talk about being different. But Hawaii, and God has brought them down to Pensacola and trying to work with servicemen there. And so you continue to pray for the Steels, and hopefully you get to see them before they leave, and they're here for this weekend. We're thankful for that. And so good to have everybody joining us. And I did slip over yesterday. I came back from Murfreesboro. I went over Friday and then came back yesterday for a graduation of my niece. And so I saw my son and his fiance, and he wanted me to make sure that I told everybody about their wedding. And so Jared Herdman and Jody Olson, together with their families, request the pleasure of your company at the celebration of their wedding on July the 15th, 2023, at 2 in the afternoon in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, at Franklin Road Baptist Church. And he said, well, Dad, make sure that everybody knows that they're welcome. Invite us. I said, well, Jared, it's only a short four-hour drive. I'm sure they'll all be there. But he said, well, I want them to come if they are. And so he certainly appreciates our church, and that's been a home to him. You know, we moved, at about his senior, moving right after his senior year, which would have been his senior / freshman year at college. But nonetheless, the Lord brought him back down here because of COVID, and he went online from Pensacola and got to meet many of you. And so he says thank you, and he loves our church, and thankful for all of the folks that gave gifts for he and Jody's shower. And my wife and I, we say thank you as well. So thank you, appreciate all of that. Well, you remember last week that I told you I wanted to preach on the Bible for that week and this week. I want to preach from the Bible every time I get up and preach, but I want to preach on the Bible last week and this week. And I labored because of bus ministry, because of Memorial Day, different themes to go down, but I felt led that the Lord would have us stay here. So if you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at verse 13. While you're finding your place there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I did hear this story about this pastor was asked to do this funeral of a homeless man, and the funeral director said, listen, he doesn't have any family, there won't be anybody there, but we want to give everybody, we'll just do a graveside, but we want to give everybody a respectful burial. And the pastor said, I'll be glad to. The pastor thought, well, it's a shame that I'm the only one there. And he thought, he asked some musicians that he knew, a guitarist, no, couldn't do it. And finally, there was one fellow that he had known, he was a bagpiper. And he said, would you be able to come? It's a homeless man. Do the service for this fellow. I just want to honor him. And he said, oh, I'd be glad to. He gave him the time, 2:00 in the afternoon of the graveside service. And he was right on track to be there, but he got lost. He wandered around for a half hour, 45 minutes, finally an hour. And he finally found the cemetery, and he got there, but it was too late. The pastor was gone. There was only a couple guys filling in a hole there. And he thought, He thought, well, I want to honor my responsibilities and fulfill my duty. So he went up and asked guys, listen, you don't mind if I play something here? Just would you stop for just a minute? They said, they didn't say anything. Just fine. And so he got that bagpipes, and he played a beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace. If you've ever heard the bagpipes, of course, a wonderful sound. And he just did it, and he got finished up, and he said, thank you, appreciate it. And then he got back in his car and went. The guys that were digging the hole or filling in the hole before he got there looked at each other and looked back down at the hole, looked at each other again as he walked off. And one said, well, I've been installing septic systems for 30 years. This is the most moving service I've ever had for a septic system, but God bless him anyway. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're looking at verse number 13 through 17. I want to preach the second message on the Bible, our defense for apostasy. Verse number 13, the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Someone goes to a new job and they get instructions of what to do, especially if it's a job that life-saving measures are necessary. I've never had one of those jobs, but you go through safety guidelines. I went to work at 15 at McDonald's. Mom and Dad signed a work permit, and I did go to work there. And the only safety thing they said is cook that burger all the way through. Don't give anybody one of those diseases to get from raw meat, I guess. But one of those fellows in the back, he thought it'd be real funny, and he put all kinds of salt. He just kept shaking on this burger once in a while. He said, boy, just think about the guy that gets that. And all the rest of don't do that, don't do that. But nobody had an oversight of anybody else. So, well, I can't do anything about you. And he thought that was so funny until one day the owner of the McDonald's, he went through the drive-thru and ordered a hamburger, Big Mac, I think it was. And then when it was found out that when he came in and said, this thing is way too salty. And then that was found out who that guy was because it wasn't me. You know, that's the way they say you can tell which one of your kids is guilty of doing something. Somebody broke a lamp, and you go through, you line all four or three, however many got up, and say, did you break that lamp? No. Did you break that lamp? No. Did you break that lamp? No. Did you break that lamp? What lamp? You always know you got the one. You throw a rock in a pack of dogs. The one that yelps is the one you hit, I guess, is what they say. But so I never had any special instructions of what to do for save anybody's life. Just don't put that much salt on a hamburger. But sometimes if you do have a job, they'll give these instructions because life and death are riding on your duties and your responsibilities. Well, God knows as he gives us the scriptures that he's got to give us the instructions of what to do. And here we see in this passage that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And now we see that God tells us that you've got the word of God to guide you through this worse and worse world. I want to preach for that for a few minutes. Father, bless us. Now is our prayer, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. In same chapter, verse number 1, if you just turn your page or look first on the higher on the page, verse number 1 says this, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous and evil times are coming, as the apostle is giving to young Timothy. Well, if it was coming then, it definitely is here now. Perilous times are here. And we understand that this day and age in which we live is an age that's explained or typified by a lot of wickedness and ungodliness and things that aren't supposed to be. And I want you to look as we realize the scripture says it would be this way, because I see, first of all, in verse 13, the worsening conditions that God prophesied. The worsening conditions, verse number 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That word seducers just means imposters. Folks that play, they're a hypocrite, they are a play actor, they're not who they claim to be. And we understand that there are plenty of those in this world today. There are people who stand and go to a pulpit or go to a platform, a stage, and they sit sometimes and they speak, so to speak, they say that they're speaking what the Lord says, but when you check out their message, it's contrary to anything that the Word of God says. So can I just give you some help? If you ever hear a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, anybody, and they say anything that's opposed to what's in this book, you know that teacher is off base. You can't say, well, maybe he's got a new take on it. He may have a new take on it, but he doesn't have the right take on it. Anytime he departs from this, he's departing from what the Lord wants him to do. And so we see the worsening conditions that are here. But I want you to look at the end of verse number 13. I don't know if you're like me, but I've had this thought before. How can those people believe what they're teaching so much? How could they be so deceptive? What's the Bible say? That evil days and the evil days and seducers, they'll wax worse and worse. But look at the end of the verse. They are deceiving and being deceived. Do you ever wonder how somebody can seem so emphatic on something that's wrong? I believe that a lot of those teachers are so emphatic because they have been deceived to think that what they're teaching is correct. But it's the worsening conditions. According to Charisma News, a Christian periodical, they gave reported about an apostate church that hosted a drag queen festival, and they insisted that God is a woman, although, of course, the scripture teaches our heavenly Father, but they insist that God's a woman, and their event that they had for this particular week kicked off with a benefit concert to raise money for the LGBTQ community. In another periodical, the End Time Headlines tells of a church in Texas that First United Methodist, that there was two young men that were actively engaged in membership, but also actively engaged in a lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. And one proposed to the other in front of the crowd. It was orchestrated by the pastor, and the church literally gave him a standing ovation. It's not just that denomination. In Augusta Heights Baptist Church in Greenville area, South Carolina, they performed a ceremony of two men. I'm saying this morning that evil days are coming, and evil workers and seducers and all the rest the Bible talks about us. Go back at same chapter, but verse number 2, and you read this with me, chapter 3, verse 2, and see if this doesn't give a description of where we're currently living. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, verse 2, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the Bible gives us admonition, from such, turn away. My friends, we're in a mess. But the Bible said it would be that way. And I'm so thankful that, again, as I already mentioned, that we have this nation where you can stand and you can proclaim what thus saith the Lord. And I realize that it's not always popular, but this is where it is. And you say to me, Pastor, what in the world can we do? We can read the next verse. Because what does it say in verse number 14? It says, but. One old preacher said, don't you love when God butts in? All of these things are getting worse and worse, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, and whom thou hast learned them, knowing and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So I see not only the worsening conditions that in our nation the right is called wrong and wrong is called right, and somehow people that claim to believe what people have always believed in our nation are now hate mongers and they're wicked people because they're just continuing on the tradition that our nation has had, but now they're described as wicked people. We understand the worsening condition, but now I want you to see the need for the guide in verse number 14 and 15. Yes, it's getting worse. Yes, it's doing what we don't want it to do. But we've got a need for a guide. And that, my friend, as you know, is the Word of God. We have got to get back to the Bible. One of the members had given me a little cutout of a paper from the American Bible Society. And in that, it gave the statistics from 2011 to 2021. 50% of Americans said that they read the Bible 3 times. Get this, a year. Not a day, of course, not a month, not a week, 3 times a year. You say, wow, that's pretty rough. It gets worse. In 2022, in the midst of a global pandemic, in wars around the world, in 2022, that number dropped from 50 down to 39% of Americans said that they read the Bible 3 times a year. And that's not because the others read it more. That's the good news. 61% said they didn't read it even those three times per year. And it's no wonder when this scripture is filled with great principle and doctrine and teaching, of course, spiritually, but also great actions of how we're supposed to behave toward our brother and honor our honor brothers and sisters in Christ and then be kind to our neighbors. They don't know the Samaritan story. They don't know the Good Samaritan, how we're supposed to be kind to people, because they haven't read it, and thus saith the Lord. And it's no wonder that we're buying into false teaching. We don't know the truth. Look at verse number 15. Not only does he say that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, but look at the next phrase, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now we're talking to a saved individual, Timothy. He was already saved. He didn't need the Scriptures to get saved. He was already saved. But the Apostle Paul said, you need the Scriptures that so it would make you wise unto salvation. And so as we see that, Timothy was getting his sanctification in order and his salvation was getting deepened by the Word of God. Do you know why we're useless sometimes as a Christian? Because we don't get into the book. You want to know why we're tossed about with every wind of doctrine that's out there? Because we're not in the book. You want to know why we buy into some schemes that somebody has as a charlatan of a pastor, preacher, minister, doctor this or doctor that? You want to know why we fall under their spell, so to speak? Because we don't do like the Bereans and check the Word of God daily, see what's in it, make sure that what's being taught is thus saith the Lord. So I'm saying that we have a need for a guide, and not only do we have a need for the guide, but then verse 16 and 17, you'll see the certainty of the guide that's laying in your lap. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I read a story about a program that aired right before the Winter Olympics of 1998. And on this program, they were highlighting some blind slalom skiers. And I first read about this. I didn't see the documentary. I didn't see the program. But I first read about it. I said, there's no way. But then they described how they did it. They start off on flat, almost flat, and they would have sighted skiers that were speaking into the ear of the blind skiers, right, left, right, left. And then after they perfected that on the flat ground, then they went to a low incline and then more of an incline. And so for this event, not for the Olympics, but it was just before the Olympics when it aired, but for this event, that sighted skier would say exactly the moves that they were to make. I want you to listen to what somebody gave as a commentary on the whole event. As they were listening, watching rather, the person gave this commentary. It was either complete trust or catastrophe. If you were those skiers, that's where you lived. I either listened completely and I put my trust in what they're saying, or I'm destined for catastrophe. Well, my friend, I believe, as I was reading that story, I believe that we as Christians in this world, we're about in the same boat. We're either completely trusting the Word of God that's laying there, laying in your lap at home or wherever you read it, or we're in catastrophe. Because I believe I'd go crazy as I see the things unfold that are unfolding in our society right now, if I didn't have the book to go by to realize that God said it would be this way. I want you to look at this. Doctrine, the Bible says in verse number 16, doctrine is what's right, that teaching. Reproof, it's what's not right. When you're reading the Scriptures and you read wherever in Ephesians where it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and the Lord smote your heart and say, you haven't forgiven that brother of yours. What's the Word of God doing? It's reproving you. It's showing you that you ought to be living a different way than you're currently living, and you need to get right. That's where the instruction comes up next. The correction, rather, how to get right. And the instruction, how to stay right. The Word of God has it all. It's doctrine, what God says. It's what you ought to be reading, and it shows you what you ought not be doing, and then shows you how we ought to be living. our friends, the Epleys, that came and sang a couple weeks ago, singing an old song, "This Blessed Old Book That I Hold in My Hand." It's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where firmly I stand. Sin kept me from it, but now it keeps me from sin. It's the same book that sat on our coffee table when I was a kid. We had one of those old family picture Bibles where you write in the front who married who and who died and all that. But that Bible wasn't the most important in our home. The most important in our home was the Thompson Chain reference Bible that my dad wore out, because that's the one he did his devotions in. That's the one he actually read and got into, and it got into him and it changed our whole family. I'm asking you this morning, if you wouldn't agree with the certainty of our guide as given in verse 16 and 17, the need for it is shown in verse number 14 and 15. And without this guide, the worsening conditions of verse number 13 are going to get us all in a mess. I didn't come today to depress you. You say, "Pastor, it sounds like it." I didn't come to depress you. I came to encourage you. I didn't come to rant about the wickedness of the world. I came to rave about Jesus today, because He's still the answer. His book is still available. His promises are still true. His salvation is still to whosoever will. Our bus ministry still works. And not only does the bus ministry still work, but you talking to your neighbor about coming to church sometime, or sharing a gospel tract, or you leaving something at the checkout when you go out or when you get to eat, are the gospel in written form, in spoken form, in whatever other form, still works. And so I'm not trying to depress us. I'm telling us, folks, we've got the answer. And since we have the answer, may you and I as Christians build our lives upon the book. Amen. I left you last week with this 3 points, and I give it to you again just to reiterate it. Number one, commit your life to live as a Bible Christian. I'll stand on the book. Number two, strive to daily get in its pages. You miss one day, get back the next day. You miss 3 days, get back up and get in the next day. Strive to daily get in its pages. And number three, share the comfort to others who are troubled. Share the comfort to others that you're in your sphere who are troubled. You say, "Pastor, how do I do that?" I mentioned it to you last week, but Pastor, how do I do that? When somebody's having a difficult time at work, it's a simple little phrase. "Could I pray with you? Could I pray for you about that? You mind if I have my family pray tonight about that?" There's few that are going to reject that. And that's an inroad to talk to them later about the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. This blessed book that I hold in my hand, it is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation upon which I stand. Sin kept me from it, but now it keeps me from sin. My friend, let's be Bible Christians. If you're here today and you haven't been in the Word of God like you should be as a Christian, I challenge you, this is your week. This is your time. This is your opportunity to shine. You say, "But I've messed up on so many things." So have we all. This is your time. Let's go forward. Say, I want to get in its pages every day. Let's build our lives upon the book. If you're here today, can I tell you what this old book tells you if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven? The same message that was for me and for hundreds of other people in this room is true for you. The message is this, that you and I were sinners far separated away from God because of our sin. You and I sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You're a pretty good person compared to maybe somebody down the street, but we're not a good person compared to the standard of God's Word or the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, the Bible teaches, are in need of a Savior because our sins separate us from God. You say, "God wouldn't turn His back on us, would He?" God turned His back on sin, and that's what I was involved in. But because of that sin, I was not a candidate for heaven. But the Bible says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," that He came to this earth, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And as He did, He was shouting victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And He died for this old sinner right here. When he was on the cross, as the song goes, I was on his mind. He died for the sins, not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. And because of my sins, I was lost and undone. But because of his saving grace on the cross, he made a way for me to be saved. And then when I heard the offer that the Lord made, when I heard that he died for me, I bowed my head and I asked Christ to forgive my sins, come into my life and save me. I turned to Jesus Christ because, my friend, he's the only way to heaven. You say, how do you know that? Because of the book that he left. And that's what we've been preaching all these years. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, there's only one way to get saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't Baptist your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't baptize your way to heaven. The only way you're ever going to get there is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins through his precious blood. Whatever your need is, if you need to be saved, I trust you would. If you're saved but you need to get back in this book, get back in there. It's your food, spiritually speaking, for every day. And let's commit our lives to live on it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be in your house, dear Lord. Thank you for your book that you've given to us. Lord, I thank you for your promises of salvation, your promise of salvation, your promise of help, your strength in the time of need. Lord, thank you that we can build our lives on this book. Our invitation is simple, folks. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, in just a moment we'll stand. I invite you to come. I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. It's only through Christ. It's no mystery. It's the most wonderful news you've ever heard. And if you're here and you're saved and you need to follow Christ in baptism, maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, whatever God's laying on your heart, I challenge you to do it. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. As the ladies play, would you stand together with us? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps you need somebody to pray with you, then we certainly would be glad to do that. Maybe you just need to come pray for yourself, then this altar is open for you. Just commit your life right now. If you're saved, but you're not a person of the book, really, I believe that's why God brought you today. You say, well, this is kind of all new to me. I'm saved. I know the Lord, but I don't know that I know that much about the Bible. Would you start a lifelong quest to know the Bible? Would you just start from here and say, I want to get into it. I want it to get into me. I believe that's why the Lord brought you here today. To let you make that commitment that I want to be a Bible Christian. Not just a saved individual that is a Christian, but I want to be one that knows the Bible. You say, Pastor, I've never been to Bible college. I've never been to seminary. Some of the greatest people that know the greatest amount about the Bible have never either. They just got into it and it got into them. Would you look this way? I challenge you to be a person of the book. Oh, with everything that's going on in this world. Again, I didn't come to depress you. I came to equip you. With everything that's going on in this world, we need to build our lives on this. Because this hasn't changed. And it just keeps on being our solid foundation. Thank you for being in church this morning. And I invite you back tonight. Now, today, it's Bus Sunday, Bus Recognition Sunday. We've got the bus barn, which is just right across the parking lot, and it looks like maybe it's brightened up a little bit out there. I don't know if it has, but it looks like it. It's clean now. God washed the bus barn for us. But we've got the bus barn open. Maybe you've never been out there. They built it, I think, back in the 90s. And maybe you've never been out there. The doors will be open. You're welcome to go in. There's some light refreshments. If nothing else, you can drive by. And that's where the buses get worked on and get maintained and all that. So we've opened that up. You're welcome to step back there. Brother Doug Deakins has been working for a long time. His dad did for a long time before that. Worked on our buses. And so I challenge you to stop by if you've got time. And but we're certainly thankful for what gets done out there. And I'm going to ask Brother Travis Steele, if you don't mind, to come to the platform, dismiss us. I told him I wouldn't pick on him today and make him come up, but I thought, well, he sat back there so nice and peaceful with his wife. I thought, well, he's had enough rest. So, but he'll be here with us tonight. Hope you get by and see him either this morning or tonight. Would you pray for us? Ask the Lord's blessings. And then we'll invite you back over to the bus barn if you're able to go. And just slip, you know, just slip in, slip by if you choose. But do, as Brother Daniel said, thank a bus worker. When you see our bus workers in here or out and about, pray for them, encourage them, because that's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And thank God for it. So, Brother Travis, thanks for being in church this morning. Pray for us.
Blessing to be here today. Amen. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message, Lord. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, who gave his life for every single one of us, Lord, that we may have freedom. Lord, as we think of freedom on this Memorial Day, but we think of and remember you and how you made us free by setting us free from our sins, Lord. May you bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back at the next appointed time. And we'll give you the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.